High five for an Eldry!
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson's Cosmos. We also talk about Carl Sagan's Cosmos. Cosmos, cosmos, cosmos. Nothing but cosmos.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful, fantastic co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And also Nick Glover.
Yeah.
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 I'm here.
You are here. And so this week, we are going to talk about Cosmos.
Right.
Both the new Cosmos of Space-Time Odyssey and the old Cosmos, just Cosmos.
I think literally the Cosmos.
I think when you're talking about the old one, you have to say Cosmos. Almost like more of a C-O-S-M-U-S.
Do
Cosmos.
You?
I think okay. It's a Cosmos.
Yeah.
So you guys, are you caught up on the new one?
Yeah. Yes, we literally just finished watching it about 10 minutes before we came over.
Yeah, okay. What is it, the...
It was the one with the one? Tardigrades.
The tardigrades, yep. Which are awesome.
And talking
little moss piglets.
Moss piglets or water bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which are kind of cool.
And they can survive in the vacuum of space. And
they
lots
look really cool.
And they talked about neutrinos and lots about like atoms and why carbon's the building block of life on our planet because of its atomic... malleability, like it can attach to four different, etc.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can,
awesome.
Yeah, pretty.
Watch it. We don't need to like
awesome.
Repeat what Neil deGrasse Tyson said.
Are you sure?
So, yeah, we might have to. But have you guys seen the original?
I have not.
Okay.
I mean, I know it was on, and Nova was on. Things like that were on when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember them enough to say that to feel like justified in saying I watched it.
Yeah, right. I remember watching it as a kid on PBS.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was super into it. My dad was really into science when I was a kid. And then I remember when I worked overnights at a local internet service provider, I watched it all on YouTube, like on overnights over the course of a week. And so the most recently I watched it was maybe like 8 years ago.
I just rewatched the entire series when right after the new series started coming out. But it's one of these memories that I have that's really important to me is sitting down and watching the original Cosmos with my dad.
Oh, cool.
My dad was totally into it, and he made me want to be into it. So there's that memory of watching Cosmos. There's also, even though... You know, for most of the show, Carl Sagan really doesn't deal with religion at all, which is actually quite different from the new series.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just this one point when he's talking about the origin of the universe, and he says, you know, everybody, you know, what people say is, well, you know, what was there before the Big Bang? Well, there, you know, we don't know what was before the Big Bang. Well, so maybe there was God before the Big Bang. Well, what was before God? Well, there was nothing before God. And he's like, why not save a step and just say there was nothing before the Big Bang? And it was the first time that I'd ever heard anybody saying something to the effect of, you don't have to believe in God, to believe in all this stuff. There, God is not a necessary part of this equation. And in fact, God doesn't fit the equation.
Yeah.
Right.
I do. Have you been sitting down and watching it with your sons? I mean, so they'll have that same memory?
We've been watching it together as a family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the kids are really into it, which is super awesome. That from the, you know, they talk about it Sunday night. They're like, we got to do all this stuff.
Blowing their tiny minds.
Yeah, a little bit.
It should be.
No, that's good because, like, I know when we've been watching it, I've been thinking, oh, this is a really cartoony part. I like it because I like cartoons, but also I like the idea that it's getting kids excited. And that's a good way to get kids excited, is animated cells.
I really like the history parts quite a bit. I think it matters, and I think putting it in historical context for the discoveries matters, and the way they're jumping around a lot, for the historical bits, and not necessarily doing it linearly,
mm-hmm.
I like that. I mean, they had Patrick Stewart as a voice actor. They've had...
Which was a little bit distracting. I was like, it's Picard!
But the... I love the historical bits because, like, the one episode where they talked a lot about Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
There's this great Neal Stephenson trilogy, The Baroque Cycle, which he's very prominently featured in. It's mm-hmm. historical fiction. And I was just like, oh, I know this story. Like, even though I knew the story from this fictional account, it was, I recognized it, and it was like hearing a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Like recognizing a fairy, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the historical bits. I love it's all good. Some people complain about the animations.
I know. I heard that. I've heard that too. But I think those people are lacking joy, really, because it's so nice. I don't know. I find it some of the best understanding I've ever felt I had about string theory was a series of YouTube animated videos that somebody made that I really felt like gave me even an inkling of an understanding of what string theory. You know, like the basic fucking tenets of the ideas that I didn't know before. So at least for me, this is a way that works very well for me.
Mm.
And I think it's a good comment. I'm not necessarily a visual learner. So I think it's a good combination of visual and audio, and it attracts children and things like that.
Yeah. And I think, It clearly is aimed a little bit lower. I mean, the science is super, super basic.
Right.
Yeah.
He's really trying to aim for people that don't understand a lot about science.
Which is great.
Which I think is really terrific. But even so, there's stuff in there that like I didn't know, because I remember studying nuclear physics in college.
Sure.
And studying electron clouds and all that shit. But, you know, when you talked a couple episodes about how electrons just kind of jump all over the place, they don't just move continuously.
Right. They cease to exist and reappear in a different orbit.
And I'm like, what the fuck? When did that happen?
Yeah, yeah.
That happened after I was in school.
We learned that since you were taking classes about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of cool to go, they're learning new stuff about the
everything.
World.
They're just, I think it's designed to raise everyone's science literacy, no matter what level you are, no matter what your familiarity is. I think, you know, you could be a college student who's in a field that they're talking about and come away with something, even if it's from a different field or whatever. Yeah. And if you're not a very science literate person, even when they're describing like the scientific processes or you know how the discoveries came about in the context for them, I think like, if you have no science literacy, it will raise you a notch. If you have some science literacy, it'll raise you a notch.
If nothing else, it'll send you angrily to the internet to find all the evidence to prove all the things they should have been talking about that you didn't, that they didn't, and now you've gone and done some learning on your own. So.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big controversy that's on the internet, which I actually think is ridiculous because I rewatched the episode after I read about the controversy, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
The first episode, they talk about, and I'm going to forget the dude's
name. They basically say creationism is ridiculous.
Well,
it's not necessary, and it's proven wrong.
But he also talks about this historical, this monk, Giordano Bruno.
Okay.
He talks about Giordano Bruno and how Bruno had this idea of the Earth not being the center of the universe, and the idea that the universe was far bigger than anybody possibly imagined. He's one of the first people to have envisioned it, and he was put to death by the church.
Right.
Now, he was not a scientist. He was a philosopher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And...
But back then, that was really similar.
Sure.
Philosophers were the scientists, but in a way.
When he's talking about it on the show, though, he's very specific about saying that, you know, this guy had no scientific principles.
He specifically states this guy was not a scientist.
Yeah. But he says, but he had this idea, and later on, someone figures out a way to test that idea. And that is part of the development of the scientific process. Yeah. We need people to come up with neat ideas, but we also need a system to test those ideas.
Yeah, and the other complaint about it was that a lot of Christians were saying, well, he's talking about the church having put this guy to death for this idea, but he wasn't really just put to death for that reason. There were a whole bunch of other reasons. It's like, yeah, that's true.
There were a whole bunch of other totally bullshit reasons.
There were a whole bunch, and yes, it's true. He was burned at the stake for a lot of reasons, one of which was his theories on the universe being far bigger. And if you listen, if you watch the episode, it's really clear that that wasn't the only reason that was considered a heretic.
Well, and he's offered a chance to whatever, like, change his mind and be saved before they kill him anyway, and he, you know, turns his head away or spits at him or whatever the fuck it was. And so it's like, oh, he was bad even at the very end,
It's like when you see people saying Hitler killed 6 million Jews. Well, okay, there were lots of gypsies and homosexuals mixed in with that number too, though. Like, that wasn't just Jews. It's like, that's not better. Yeah. I don't know why you think that's better. Like, he wasn't just burned for that, Tim. He was burned for probably thinking all kinds of other stuff.
That was also,
they didn't like a lot of things he was saying and thinking, so they burned him for plenty of reasons.
And he also said we should feed the poor.
I know. Like, I saw him kiss a woman who wasn't his wife, so murdered the both of them.
Light him on fire. So the complaint of the religious right that saw the show and was like, this isn't accurate. He was burned for all these things. It's like, yeah, but here's the point that you're totally fucking missing. And of course, they're sitting there in their chairs waiting for Tyson to attack them, and he doesn't disappoint.
No, he doesn't.
But they're sitting there, and they miss the point entirely that what happens here is superstition silences somebody because they don't like what he thinks. And Tyson keeps going back to the idea that science can't get silenced by superstition.
We can't let our fears and what we attribute to things, you know, trump our ability to learn and to explore.
You can't ignore reality. That's what it comes down to.
And I think when you say that he doesn't disappoint, I agree. Nick and I were both, I dare say, agape at times
in the first few episodes
where they would, I mean, they were straight up saying, at least to us, it definitely felt like they were very clearly saying, you don't need to believe in God. There's plenty of science, and science is better and provable. Like, it definitely felt that way, and I was very happy.
The evolution
parts are that was awesome.
Pretty in your face about it. Like, he says it's an undeniable fact.
And then he takes the eye, which is one of the things that creationists always talk about. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the eye could never have evolved. And he's like, oh, sure, it could. And he takes you through each step of the development of the human eye, talks about the fact that each one of these types of eyes still exists.
Yep, prove it. You can trace it.
You can trace it in living species, and then points out that because the eye developed underwater, our eyes are not perfect. They work way better underwater.
Yeah.
Even now, human eyes work better underwater.
Have you ever read or heard the Cartoon History of the Universe?
Larry Gonick? Yes, you've mentioned it.
Yeah, on the podcast. So they start in that book with the creation of the universe, Big Bang, and then, you know, through all of cosmic history, you know, long as it is, and through evolution of life on Earth, and he covers the evolution of certain parts.
Yeah.
Certain things, like how we were pretty sure they came to be and what traits we share with, you know, distant ancestors and stuff like that. And it reminded me of that quite a bit, where it's like, it's not a textbook, but so it's not like a super technical explanation, but it's still pretty in depth. Like, it still gives you a pretty great understanding.
Mm-hmm. And I think that evolution episode is great. And it's interesting because there's not a parallel between the old and the new ones so much. But it's interesting that the second episode of the original Cosmos was the episode about evolution.
They got right to it.
And Tyson does the same thing. But he goes straight into it.
I think that's important because if you don't set up evolution as being truth, hard truth, and fact, and set up the difference between in that episode, they also talk very much about the difference between scientific theory versus layman using the term theory, and how a layman's theory is a scientific hypothesis. A scientific theory is closer to fact than
truth.
Right. And so, yeah. and they laid that, well, these are basic things you have to understand before you can start discussing anything else about science.
Make sure we're using the same terms, exactly. Speaking the same language.
Yeah. Because so that setting, I think the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, I don't think it's them trying to be necessarily in your face creationists, haha, right off the bat. It's more about, we have to agree that these are facts or there's no going forward. I mean, you can't talk about how the universe was created, even cosmically, without understanding that things evolve and change over time because of the time-space continuum.
Yeah.
all agree that there's time, or at least the perception.
Yeah, can we all agree that time, like, literally moves forward?
Yeah, well, no. You know, some of us cannot, or so it would seem. But in the Tyson one, he gets, like, to the Isaac Newton, and he acknowledges Isaac Newton believed in God. He was a religious man, and yet what Newton did when he discovered gravity was fill in one of these huge gaps where everybody said, well, God just makes it happen. And he suddenly discovered the mechanism that literally drives the entire universe. The motion of the universe
is like one of the major forces, right? Yeah.
The motion of the universe is gravity. We revolve around the sun because of gravity. The sun is part of the Milky Way because of gravity. All these things that Newton does, that when Newton comes up with it, and he just says basically everybody believed that God made all these things happen, and Newton suddenly came up with an explanation that did not require God at all, and he sort of implies that God of the gaps, how science sort of filled in that gap, and the idea that science continues to fill in those gaps, and we don't know everything. Science has not figured out everything. We don't know how the Big Bang happened, really. We just see evidence that supports the theory, because every time somebody says, well, if the Big Bang really happened like we said, then this should be true, and they go out and they look for that, and they find, like, the discovery they just had.
Bicep 2.
Well, it's like, I believe I remarked to Nick that night, if I were to believe in a God, that would be gravity. That is the closest thing I think I can wrap my mind around to, in terms of an all-powerful, unifying, you know, like, thing that's everywhere, that, I mean, that its laws are...
There are other forces that are, like, on par with how our universe works, and like,
sure, like the speed of light,
electromagnetism, and
but
shit
but electromagnetism, doesn't that just rely on gravity?
No, it's different.
Is it?
They are different forces,
and nuclear forces,
but they affect the gravitational pull of something.
Well, no, they cause different.
All right.
Yeah, it's a different force.
They're different forces.
In any event.
Well, in the most recent episode, which we're recording on April 15th, so this would have been the episode that came out on the 13th, thank you. He talked about climate change.
Yeah.
And how understanding our environment and how the systems of our, you know, biospheres, like with photosynthesis and such, work as an energy supply, and how the, you know, that creates our air we breathe, and makes energy for the plant and all that, and makes sugar, is something if we figured out, climate change wouldn't be as big of a problem for us anymore, because, you know, it's speeding up and we're running towards some serious consequences, period. Like, just like this is a real thing. And it's going to get worse unless, like, there was some urgency there, and it was, matter of fact, it was, this is the reality of the situation. It wasn't like, maybe some shit might be happening.
He just said, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
There is not debate about it amongst people who know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right.
On the original Cosmos, Sagan actually, and I mean, this is way back in the 80s, right? He's talking about, he does an episode that's all about, Neptune.
Okay.
And then he does an episode that's all about Mars, and what he talks about is, okay, Neptune is, if you have global warming gone to an extreme, if you have that cloud cover that never goes away, this is the kind of planet you get. And Mars is the kind of, so Mars and Neptune he talks about as being kind of,
you don't mean Venus?
Sorry, Venus. I'm sorry. Mars and Venus. Damn it. Anyway, so he's talking about Mars and Venus as being basically failed Earths.
Yeah,
okay. Both of them. Yeah. But Venus didn't quite work because it generated this cloud cover.
Yeah.
And it's so hot, and there's nothing that it's basically created a greenhouse.
The atmosphere is far too thick.
Yeah, but it didn't have to be that way if a few things had been a little bit differently.
Mars, the atmosphere is far too thin.
Mars, the atmosphere is far too thin, and both of them didn't have to be that way. And he talks about how human changes to the environment could result in Earth being way more like Neptune.
Oh.
Or way more like Mars, and the risk that there is there. You know, and Tyson, I think, comes back to that when he starts talking about what can happen to the planet. In that thing of, it's not the tendency of deniers is to go, well, what can happen, you know, wouldn't necessarily be that bad. It's like, well, yeah, it really could be.
Oh, climate change has always happened. There's always been climate change. That's you mean that argument.
We haven't always lived through it, though. So, in fact, lots of things just don't live through it. I mean, I'm not saying...
In fact, the only reason that... I mean, well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that humanity was able to, like, boom the way it did was because the last ice age ended, and we're in between ice ages. I mean, right? Isn't that...
Well, yeah. The way I feel about
that, there's more to it than that. But
agriculture and language and shit too. But
the way I feel about climate change is, it's like, man, it's getting hot in this room. It's like, well, we could go open a window. It's like, I don't know if that's gonna fix it. It's like, well, should we just not even try? It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's really uncomfortable. Like, well, I don't know how to get up to open the window. It may not even work that much. It's like, well, fucking try something. Like, why did you do nothing?
It's that whole idea of, if we do what scientists are suggesting to solve the problem and it doesn't work, what we've done is still a good idea.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
It's better than trying nothing.
Those ideas are expensive, Tim.
Ideas generate data that can help explain why it didn't work, which we can then move on to cross off other... I don't understand why people don't want to try stuff.
If so, we rely a lot more on solar power, that's a good idea. It puts fewer pollutants in the air. We can use fossil fuels on things that we really need fossil fuels for considerably longer. We can
only use fossil fuels for.
Yeah.
Right.
There's all sorts of reasons that switching to a much higher concentration of solar power is a good idea. So why would we not just do that anyway?
Right, there was a meme that went around today. It was like, why do not all parking garages look like, or parking lots look like this? And the parking lot just had a roof built over, like a car stall kind of, and the top was just solar
energy panels. Solar panels they're expensive to make. Sure. They're expensive to install. They're expensive to upkeep and maintain.
Yeah.
They work better in some places than others. And like, they're always getting better, and we're always making them more efficient, and we're always making them cheaper, but the initial costs, the square footage needed, the you know, manpower for installation and all that stuff, like, and the upkeep costs, I mean, I'm not, like, anti-solar. I'd say fucking spend every penny, like, it's worth it, but keep in mind also, like, making things isn't... ecologically benign.
Is it neutral?
Right.
Like,
it's not neutral. It's not even positive.
The manufacturing process. I mean, like look at electric cars. I mean, like, you know, batteries aren't necessarily great for the environment. Making batteries aren't necessarily great for the environment. Like, the electricity that goes into your electric car is generated by a coal plant or a natural gas plant. And so, like, your car might not be having that exhaust, and we might get less pollutants that way. Or it might be more concentrated, or we can filter it better, etc. But, like, even like, the best things are still digging the hole a little deeper. Yeah. And so, like, that's why it's important that we try so many things. You know, we do it with what we have the power to.
Well, there's... Yeah, nothing is perfect. No, the amount of energy we consume is huge, and anything you do to solve that problem. But at the same time, fossil fuels are a finite resource. And you have to be exploring the resources that are, well, not necessarily infinite, but
certainly... I mean, like, fossil fuels are a finite resource, but, like, replacement fuels are not. I mean, they're renewable. Like,
we have renewable options. We should just take more
biodiesel and shit like that. Like, we can make those things, It's just that, like, there's an energy cost to making them as well.
Of course.
So yeah, it's fun to think about.
Nothing's neutral. But anyway, so yeah. we are
good.
We're getting pretty close to needing to talk about five questions, but just, you know, Cosmos,
if
awesome.
If you're not watching it, you should be, man. It's really good.
I remember one thing I want to say about Cosmos. Yeah. So I remember in the original, one of my favorite parts, or some of my favorite parts, were the, when he stopped talking about what we know and how we know it and that sort of thing, and started talking about hypothetical stuff like the future of where humanity could go, like space colonization and space exploration and that sort of thing, like some of the like possibilities. I'm excited, and I hope they get to some of that.
Yeah,
because that's like, that's what inspires kids to,
yeah. This you last know. One was like a call to arms for science, especially for like biochemists and stuff. It was like,
yeah,
they said it was like, who's going to be the one to help discover this? Like, which among you will take up this mantle of science exploration?
And that's one of Tyson's big things. Is going back to kids and young adults and saying science is important. And you should get involved, cool, because there's so many cool things that are out there waiting for the right person to figure it out.
Absolutely.
So the shows are on Hulu Plus. Well, no, not Hulu Plus. They're on Hulu. They're free. So if you don't see them,
Like Fox and National Geographic.
I know Xfinity on Demand has it on the very first screen. For on demand, it has its own link. Thing, yeah, boom. like rather than going into premium channel or TV show, it's just Cosmos.
So yeah,
it's readily available.
My only objection to this show versus the original is the original was on PBS, so there were no fucking commercials.
Yeah, well,
but other than that, it is. I think Tyson has been carrying the torch.
Oh, for sure. And that story about him as a kid and sagging in the bus and the snowstorm and all that—it's fucking endearing and heartfelt.
Hearing what advertisers are paying money to be on Cosmos, actually, though, kind of good for me. Because I'm like, oh, all right, cool. I'll buy your shit. Or I'll at least think about it, you know, because they're paying money.
It reflects on the brand.
It does reflect on the brand, and I like that. I'm always up to see that.
Pay attention to what commercials are airing during Touched by an Angel and then not buy those things.
Exactly.
Or whatever the fuck.
Exactly.
Why are you watching Touched by an Angel, Molly?
I don't know, Nick. Why do you love Touched by an Angel?
Hey, Tim, is that the entire box set of Touched by an Angel on your shelf?
Oh, my God, Tim. That looks really well worn.
Yeah, I watch it a lot.
You can tell.
Yeah.
There's a hole in this DVD from
years. What the fuck is that? All right. Moving on to five questions.
I have five questions.
Where are our five answers from?
From Ken Larson.
Ken Larson, the man who taught me how to play the Boron. So he'll have to...
Yes.
He's going to have to pay one back for the rest of his life.
So hit me.
That's rough.
Question number one. Hey, Ken, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I would have to say it's My Favorite Year, a 32-year-old film I watched again in honor of Peter O'Toole's life. Hmm. Pardon me. That's not Ken talking. That's Molly. That's the end of his answer.
Oh, yeah, My Favorite Year by Peter O'Toole.
I've never seen it.
I've seen it, but it's so long I can't describe what it's about.
Is it about a year long?
Yes, the movie is about a year long.
Does Peter O'Toole play a reasonable guy, or does he play kind of a tool?
I think he plays kind of a tool. I think that one's, now I'm going to look it up, but I think My Favorite Year... is about, he's an actor.
Okay. Well, you're looking it up, Tim. I'm going to, question two.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite atheist character?
Edmund Blackadder. It's hard to find admitted atheists in fiction. You can make assumptions because of their lack of religion with a lot of characters, but they rarely state it outright. But rewatching Blackadder recently, I realized he was an open atheist.
Yeah. Is that the Mr. Bean guy's character, Rowan Atkinson?
Rowan Atkinson, yeah, he's Blackadder.
Mm-hmm.
I despise what I just did there. What? Referring to Rowan Atkinson as Mr. Bean guy, yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Also, I hate Mr. Bean, but I love
Blackadder. It's like some of the best slapstick comedy since Charlie Chaplin.
I think it's boring.
Have you watched the movie Rat Race?
Yes.
I don't love Mr. Bean on his own in movies, but I liked him, his character that Rowan Atkinson, which is basically Mr. Bean,
kind of,
but Italian.
He spoke.
It's like Italian Mr. Bean, in Rat Race.
It's a mad world part
but
two.
It's rat yeah. race.
I think Rowan Atkinson is hilarious. I just, for some reason, Mr. Bean does not do it for me. By the way, my favorite year I was right is actually the movie in which Peter O'Toole plays like a drunk actor.
Meta.
Anyway.
So. I'd like to rewatch Blackadder. It was a really good show.
I haven't seen it. I'd watch it with you.
Yeah, Britcom. It was on PBS on reruns, like around the time Doctor Who was when I was a kid, I think.
I would not be surprised if you can find that streaming somewhere.
I'm sure. No doubt.
I bet we could. We have many options.
Yeah. Question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
I'm a Boron player.
Yes, he is.
A sci-fi fan, a recovered juggler, and a Renfest survivor. So it's hard to choose what's geekiest, but I'd say that tinkering and making tippers and other Boron-related tools and stuff like that.
He does. He makes his own tippers, and
that's
they are
cool.
They're super fucking elaborate too. He makes them with a resin. He carves up the tipper, and then he puts a resin webbing over them.
Cool.
I mean, it's crazy. And he gave me one, and it's got a super different grip from what I use to play the Boron. And I keep trying to figure it out because it sounds really awesome when I can make it work.
That's
right.
Cool.
And he gave it to me because he's like, wow, this is like 2 grams too heavy for me. I'm like, 2 grams? How the fuck do you even know?
That's super funny.
It's just amazing. He's
like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You get rid of that extra gram.
Yeah. Dan, the only one of the dregs that deals in grams is Jeffrey.
Okay. Anyway, question four.
Question number four is, what is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is from my days working at Devani's. It's a hot pastrami hoagie on a toasted multigrain bun with mozzarella, tomato, onion, shredded lettuce, mayonnaise, Italian dressing, spike, and extra garlic butter. It's been a long time since I've had one, and now they don't use spike, and they've changed the multigrain buns, so it's not the same now.
It's true.
I completely sympathize because one of my favorite sandwiches in the whole world was Subway's tuna salad, like back in like the mid 90s before they changed the one time they changed the formula.
I know.
They went to a mayonnaise-y formula and it was so sad.
I remember that shortly after that, Super America gas stations did the same with their tuna salad, and you were like, "No, I can't get tuna salad anywhere."
It really bothers me the way restaurants do that. They're like, "Oh, you know, let's change the recipe. Nobody will notice." And like, how do you? Right? Nobody was anybody clamoring for you to change the recipe? I mean, when I worked at Devani's, too, and their grain bread was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Nobody was complaining about their bread. Why change the recipe? Anyway.
It must have been something reflecting on the bottom line, because that's how it was at Joe's Crab Shack when I worked there.
Oh.
And whenever they changed something corporate, it was always like, turns out, like, this fish is 50 cents more per portion than this fish. And so or this sauce, if you take out half the butter, like now it costs 10 cents less per portion, and now we can save $1 million a year, like year round.
And it doesn't taste that much different.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, you're wrong.
You're
it does
totally
take
wrong.
That much different.
Yeah.
All right. Question five.
Some of us notice patterns.
What is the stupidest thing anybody has said to you about your atheism, or stupidest thing you've heard about your atheism?
There are three things that I can't decide which is stupidest. I'll let you decide which to go with if you use this. I think we should read all three. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm all
for it.
All right. So number one, I was told by my stepfather that my atheism was, quote, something that I'd grow out of and that I'd realize the truth when I'm older. It's been almost 30 years now since he said that, and I don't see any more proof of God now, and I can't see myself getting any more gullible about it anytime soon. Number two, Pascal's Wager, paraphrased. If you believe in God and there is a God, you will go to heaven when you die, but if there's no God, you just end. But if you don't believe in God and there is a God, you go to hell. Don't you think that if there is a God, he'd see through a thin argument like that? Also, I don't think you can decide to believe in anything. But
right?
With the right evidence, you might start believing something. But I don't think it can be a conscious decision. Fake it till you make it about belief just leads to more faking it and self-delusion. Number three. If there's no God, what stops you from killing people? If the only thing that stops you from killing someone is your belief in God, then you're not a good person, and I don't want to be near you when your faith falters. Thanks. Sorry for being long-winded. Thanks for the show.
Awesome.
The third one's the most common we hear about, for sure.
Yeah. Where do you get your morality from?
Well, and that's the thing is that I want to start collecting the new ones we hear because
the first one is more insulting to me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, you, when so you get dismissive. Older.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so dismissive. It says, well, you're wrong, yeah. And it's just because you haven't really had time to think about it.
I could see saying that to a teenager if you were a religious person, but I would also take it back within the time that they became an adult if it was sticking.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I would certainly be like, you know what? I just want to say that obviously, you know, you figured yourself out. Young, you know, because it's not unreasonable to say to a teenager, you're just going through this.
Sure.
You'll grow out of it. Especially it's, you know, you hear a lot, kids that are queer and, it makes sense with atheism too, or,
anything adults
theater,
don't
liking
want,
theater.
Anything adults don't want their kids to be is
right.
A phase.
Yeah. No. My grandpa told me that I would grow out of my love for theater because once I realized that, putting on plays are fun, but you can't do it forever. I mean, at some point
you got to stop.
It stops being fun.
It's not feasible.
Yeah, you won't like it after a while. And I was like, all right.
That's the same way with atheism. You know, eventually, you know, if you've done all the not believing in God that you can do. And you'll just have to start believing in God because, you know, that it's so much easier and you can do that for longer or something.
I'm just bored, so I guess I'm just going to go full on God. Anyway, so that's Ken. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken. All right, so that's pretty much the end of the episode.
It's literally the end of the episode.
Thank you so much for listening to Geeks Without God. We really appreciate it. We want to thank you again for all your contributions at Die Laughing. We are set to go to church only too soon.
Yep, we're going to go. It'll be our 100th episode. Episode will be recorded right after we go to church, and you guys will get to hear it. I expect
there's going to be a lot of swearing.
Tim, when does our 100th episode go up?
It is, I think, let me look at the calendar to make sure that
I think
it's
the
June 3rd, I think.
The best part about this, we have had some people asking us when we're going. We're going to go on our own. Just we thank you guys for having interest in attending with us, but we've decided the best way to do this truly is just the three of us to go. So we're going to go on our own, and we will definitely report back to you guys.
Yeah, so June 3rd, we are going to report back to you about our experience at Grace Church in beautiful outskirts Eden Prairie.
Thanks to you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
thank you
guys.
So hey, if you haven't if you haven't followed us on Twitter, you should do that. If you haven't rated us on iTunes, you should do that too. If you haven't told your friends how awesome Geeks Without God is, you should do that as well. So thanks a lot for listening. We will catch you next time.
Adios.
Bye.
So long.
Bye.
Cosmos, cosmos, cosmos. Cosmos, cosmos, cosmos. Cosmos, cosmos, cosmos.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, why don't I know who the fuck he is?